done to Chris and the team. That was absolutely outstanding. And I love when Chris in the beginning said, and we shouldn't be reminded to say or to do this, but to understand and to do things, everything that we have with all our being, with all our heart, to sing these words and to capture these words as they came. And so I'm not going to take a long time this evening. You'll be happy to know that. But when we come and we listen to the history and we hear, as Dr. Luke here so well read the story and encountered the story of Christmas for us, and as it was, we interspersed with carols and songs and we sung it together, we have to understand that this is not just a story, but it is His story. It was a real Jesus in a real day, a real history story, in a real city, in a real world. We've had the privilege of going there and seeing the place, a hole in the ground, a grotto of where Jesus was actually born. The Christ who came to bring hope, to redeem us from the world, and to make us satisfied and safe forever. The birth of our Savior, Lord and Master, to bring hope to us. There were these four guys who were in the 60s. They were called the Fab Four. Paul, John, Ringo, and George. And they made and sang songs. And some of you haven't a clue what I'm talking about. It's okay. And I'm looking over here, and some of you know what I'm talking about. And they changed the face of music forever. Yet before them, there was another Fab Four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they wrote the songs and the message and the love of Christ that would echo throughout eternity. It was about 2,750 years ago, or 750 BC, the prophet Isaiah was given this word. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. An intention of the heart of God, as we finished our series this morning, the promise of eternity. And we see that this was God's promise of eternity for us. To bring an end of an era of the enemy's rule and reign over us, and to bring us into an abundant life. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What I love so much tonight was just allowing some of those words as they were sung to wash over my spirit and over my soul. And again, just to take in. And some of these I haven't sung since I was in Sunday school. But again, the richness and the beauty and the power of the words that came out. As He would carry here the government of the world upon His shoulders. Wonderful Counselor, one who would give us and bring us into grace and truth. Mighty God, a title for Lord Himself only. Everlasting Father. Just allow these words to sink richly into your spirit. A Father, He has a benevolent protector, which is the task of the ideal King, and He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and a way for God Himself to care for His people, sending His Son Jesus. And He would be the Prince of Peace. He will rule and bring peace to us. Now, normally when important people to come to town, there is a big fanfare and a flash, and there's bulletins and TV adverts and people, man, do you know who's coming? Have you got tickets to the concert, or have you got tickets to the gig? Do you understand that this fantastic, amazing person is coming, or persons is coming? The city would be abuzz with it. Yet, undoubtedly, the most important person in all of history, bar none, no one knew that He slipped into town in the belly of a pregnant teenager. It was a night, what I like to call the night of the nobodies. And as we've listened to Dr. Luke read to us, Mary, the mother of Jesus, a teenager of no distinction, pregnant and chosen of God in her day and age, would be definitely have been considered a nobody. Just another teenage girl going about life, doing stuff. An angel appeared to her and said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then there was this other young guy called Joseph. Now Joseph probably wasn't very much older than Mary, but he was a tradesman. In those days, he was a carpenter, a working stiff, we could put it, in love with this Mary, totally besotted by her, betrothed to be married to her, suddenly now pregnant. Can you imagine the dilemma? A nobody. He had no union to rush off to, no trade union to rush off to, but all he did was go say yes to the shame of this thing, yes to the love of this girl, yes to God, I'll be this kid's dad. A nobody. A confused couple who slipped into town late one night. They didn't get to stay in a 5-star hotel. There were, in actual fact, as we know the story, there was no room in the inn. They got turned away everywhere they went. Every place was fully booked for this big festival that we know was taking place. All the tickets had been sold, as it were. Mary on a donkey with her betrothed Joseph, clippity-cloppity, clippity-cloppity, clippity-cloppity through the streets, looking for lodging. And as I said, Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, was smuggled into Bethlehem in the belly of a teenage girl. Shepherds sitting out in the field had a host of angels appear before them. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and glory shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, I can't do EB's voice, but fear not, for behold, I will bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Can you imagine this bunch of shepherds on the late night shift? Not overly excited. Out in the fields. There were no geniuses amongst them, let me put it that way. Shepherding was the lowest of the lowest of the people to do. A bunch of nobodies. They occupied the bottom rung of the corporate ladder. A bunch of nobodies, yet they were first invited to the birth of the Savior. These shepherds, and we, Bridge and I, had the privilege of traveling then. If you've been to Israel, you know that there's a special spot that they keep these sheep. And these are the pure sheep, the spotless sheep, the blessed sheep with no blemish, because they are the ones that are going to be sacrificed. What an amazing place for our Lord and Jesus to be saved, born in a proximity to these shepherds. There has to be something in there. Then there was this amazing old couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, that we heard the story of. A wonderful old couple who had had no children, had been barren and serving God, walking blamelessly before him in all the commandments, suddenly called upon in their dotage to be parents to someone who doesn't even carry my family name, John. Jesus' cousin, be the forerunner, the herald of the Savior. The childless couple found themselves unexpectedly drafted to care and raise for the greatest prophet of time. New Testament says, and all the prophets until John. And he came, and they're going to care for this kid. Little did they know. Also, probably just two old wonderful people carrying on with life. Nobodies. Nobody took much notice of them. And then, as we heard from Doctor here, Simeon and Anna, alone and elderly, almost completely invisible in Israel, in Jerusalem. Invisible except to everybody, except to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God had been whispering to them for decades that they would witness the most important event in human history. And you hear their declarations when it eventually is revealed. Even if they had held the baby Jesus in the temple, they would have been considered them people in the margins of society. They were in God's secret place. We don't need the fame of the world. We don't need anything. We just need the love of the Savior, which we have. They both prophesied and spoke the God's oracles over this young boy. And Simeon thanks God for allowing him to see God's salvation and be prepared in the presence of all people. Anna revealing that all of this was the redemption of Jerusalem. Can you imagine serving 82 years, I think it was, in the temple as a widow, all day, praying and serving in the temple? No one knew who Anna was. And then we have these amazing, we three kings, or maybe more. We don't really know. We say three, but because frankincense, myrrh, and gold, but we know there could have been two, there could have been five. Scripture's not clear about that. Just to add to the players of this true original pantomime, they come a long way to honor a king. They seemed really important, but in truth, as this pantomime unfurled, they too were nobody, simply wealthy and pagan astrologers who saw the star in the sky, foreigners called, carried the wrong sacred books, yet they were invited to bear witness to the birth of our Lord and Jesus Christ, Savior, Jesus Christ, and to bring him an offerage. So what am I saying tonight? The secret message of this Christmas message that I want to conclude with is, if you've sometimes felt, I know someone said it this morning, sometimes, how'd you often go, bro? Kevin said that even he has terrible in-laws. I just wondered how your afternoon went this morning if you were with us. I know he was joking. He was making, it wasn't about his own in-laws, but God invites the nobodies. Sometimes you feel, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody cares. Before Bridget got saved, she used to believe that. Nobody cares. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows who I am. Until God spoke to her in her room one night. The powerful people, you think you've got to be the powerful people, the beautiful people, the cool kids, might not have made this celebration that these people were called to. They're welcome, but they might have been too busy building their own kingdoms, building their own thing, doing their own thing. God's kingdom is filling up with people, the nobodies. Jesus came for all of us. The whosoever, as we've learned so much through John 3:16, to master us. At the bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's word and spirit. This season, if you feel I'm a nobody, this is your night to rejoice. This is your night to say, I'm not a nobody, I am somebody in the eyes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I've been invited to partake of his birth and his celebration and his life forevermore. So we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And again, thank you, Chris, for the musicians and those who in the sound and the back at who did everything to put this together for us. I really enjoy just allowing the words and to sing the songs again with depth in my heart. May you have a Merry Christmas. And I want to wish you Merry Christmas. Now, I'm not going to do that.